The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. It is a super busy Tuesday. How's everybody doing? Rich is here. Brady's here. Arnie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on today, big boy?
I can't wait for the show. I've been waiting for hours. My head is exploding with baseball and hockey and football stuff, and I can't wait to get it all out.
Something very interesting has happened.
Uh-oh.
Something very interesting has happened.
As opposed to most of your life?
Yeah. As opposed to most of my life, yes.
Nothing interesting happens.
So I'm going through the Town Fair Tire text line, overnight, basically what's been sent in overnight. And my old friend, UAlbany basketball coach Will Brown, texted in to congratulate Tom Brennan on getting the Court of Patrick Gym named after him.
Wow. It's kind of hard to boo
So stop
that.
Booing him.
Yeah.
We're supposed to boo him. That's
Will
what
Brown
we do.
Will Brown is my friend, and he must listen to the station.
You could always text 24/7. We'll get to it because when we come in, I take a look at what they text overnight. Some people text after like a Red Sox loss or a Celtic loss and just want to vent that way. You know what I mean?
Well, it's great to have that ability to do so instead of just throwing things at my cat like I usually do.
Or calling up the station and nobody's going to answer at midnight. We're not here.
Texting Brady that bleep, bleeps, bleep.
Yeah. Yes. So that's pretty cool. I was playing hoop. Only seven people showed up yesterday.
That's because people know.
You've driven them off.
I don't know if I've driven them off or they thought it was Columbus Day and the schools were closed. I don't even know because when the schools are closed, we don't get to play basketball. So I was a little disappointed in that. We had a new guy to the crew though yesterday.
Another 18-year-old?
No, he was like my age. He was in his 50s. And I'm like, this guy can't play. He had a pot belly. And I'm like, really?
Oh no.
Yeah, well, he had a pot belly.
Not like you.
Well, but you know what? I'm like, really, buddy? This is like a little high end. And I should send out a warning. And I told Brady this. This is why Brady doesn't come on Mondays. The games are a little higher end. And, you know, if you're not, you know, in good shape and you can't ball, don't come. That's just the way it
Ripped
is, right,
like
Brady?
You. Yeah.
Look at Brady just like, yeah, yeah.
So full so of it.
First, Arnie, I will play you one-on-one on Wednesday.
For $1 million. Wow.
Tomorrow,
I'm
going
to where?
Tomorrow, after we play.
And you could film it, too.
Tomorrow, after we play, I will play you one-on-one. And the final score, we played a 21?
Yeah.
Twos and threes
ones and twos.
21 ones and twos?
No, 50 ones and twos.
Okay, if we played to 50, you would score no more than 8 points.
Right.
That's not even.
Oh, wow.
That's not even a question. It's a promise.
Rich, did I not say I.
A promise. That's Rich, the second one this week.
Rich, did I not say I would. Did I not look you in the eye and say I was going to beat the intern who accused me of cheating? I beat the intern.
We don't need to talk about that.
Yeah, you beat the intern, but I'm not the intern.
He looked me right in the eye and said, I promise you I will beat him. Beat him. And I noticed he hasn't shown up since.
No, he hasn't. Of course, because I crushed him. And Brady, you're not going to hold me to 8 points, okay?
If we played to 50, I would hold you to 8 points.
I've been on my basketball. But anyway, back to this guy last night. I'm like, okay, let's see what this guy's got. And he first shot goes up, and he's going to try to run in and get the rebound on me. We're playing 3-on-3. So I'm like, okay, big boy, Mr. Potbelly. I give him a little hip check. Down goes the old man. My shoulder. Okay, so you dislocated it. Don't make a big deal about it. Get the hell up for crying out loud.
Wait a minute.
My shoulder.
So you gave him a hip check in basketball instead of flying.
Semi-hip check.
50-something-year-old guy like all of us are here. Well, most of us.
And I'm pretty sure he had to go to the hospital over something like that. So
how did you beat him? Was that the first play of the game?
First shot of
the
game.
What'd you beat him, 1-0?
No, we were playing 3-on-3, and the first shot goes up. I went to box him out. He goes down, and we had a seventh guy, thank God. And I'm like, okay, just can you go off the court now? And this is why people don't like me. I'm very...
So, Brady, what would you say the possibility of this, any of that being true?
Oh, it's totally true.
I would say 100%.
Yeah, really? Totally true.
100%.
It's totally true. He went down. The shoulder, I'm sure, was dislocated. And... What do you want from me? I'm sorry, Buttercup.
Planet are you from?
What do you mean, what?
How is it you've not been either in jail or just beaten to a pulp?
What, are you going to fight with a dislocated shoulder?
No,
you know how painful that is?
The stuff you tell me, how is it people don't just haul off and smack you?
Oh, there was a tall guy I was playing. You know that tall guy that likes to push me around a little bit?
Yes.
I didn't get to really, I was just getting warmed up when he was pushing me around, but... You know, I was just getting warmed up, and then we had to quit, so we didn't get to play
look,
full games.
I have to work until at least 8 o'clock today. If you go to the Edge tonight at 8, I will play you tonight.
Oh.
I will play you tonight.
I got a hockey game tonight.
Yeah, okay. Always with an excuse.
I got a hockey game.
He's too much of a chiseled athlete. He doesn't have time for you.
Confidence level very low, though.
What is your friend Craig in Essex?
He says it's because people are hooping outside. It feels like July. They don't want to play inside.
And what's the one after that says breaking news? I can't even see what that says.
They're a combined texter. Trevor and Ross in St. Albans would like me to know that they have taken over the lead in the 101.3 Fantasy Football League because I finally suffered my first loss due to two bye weeks and three injuries.
Yeah, can we get to the final score?
You beat me in fantasy football. I am crushed. I'm now down to 1-4. When I lose to you, I feel like quitting.
Tariq Cohen, what did you need last night?
6 points.
You needed 6 bleeping points.
And he gave me like a negative half a point or something like that.
So one I worst win, game on you that. Lose.
Yeah, I'm 1-4. What are you like, 2-3?
I'm 2-3. Officially, I'm 2-1.
I still think I'm going to make the playoffs, though. I because I have a good team. It's like every time I play somebody, it's like they have the week of their life.
You sound just like every other fantasy sports participant. I have the best team.
No, I do have a good team. I mean, people
apparently
want my
not.
Running backs. I just picked the wrong running. I should have picked Mixon, who had like 11 points. I picked Cohen, who had negative one.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah, I would have won the
meanwhile,
thing.
Meanwhile, Brady, 4-0, loses to 0-4.
Yes, but like I said, 2 bye weeks and 3 injuries. I have so much housekeeping to get to. Can we get to that real quick?
Yeah. What's going on?
All right, number one.
Yeah.
We are live on Thursday, not for the show, but Thursday Night Football. Buffalo Wild Wings on Shelburne Road in South Burlington.
Yes.
The Labatt Tailgate Party. Come hang out. Watch with us. Chance to win $1,000. Chance to win Patriots tickets. So come out. Buffalo Wild Wings, Thursday Night Football, Eagles Panthers.
Eagles Nation, I've seen you in that corner watching every Eagles game at Buffalo Wild Wings. You better be there Thursday night.
So we'll be there. And also, here's this one. This was supposed to start yesterday, but we weren't on the air.
This is Problems of a Millennium, Rich. So there you go. Listen to this.
So Nightmare Vermont is coming back again this year, right?
I'm going this year.
Yeah.
I'm going this year.
Nightmare Vermont is back. It's supposed to be great. It's supposed to be very, very scary, actually.
Yeah.
So Nightmare Vermont, we have tickets to give out to that. And here's what happens. The millennial problem, I read this over the weekend, and I was absolutely crushed. Now, Rich doesn't know what this is, neither does Arnie, but AOL Instant Messenger, also known as AIM or AIM, is officially shutting down.
I know what that is. I use it for my national show.
They're officially getting rid of it.
Yeah.
On December 15th.
That's horrible.
It's going to be the end of it.
Okay.
It was Facebook chat before Facebook chat, and it was the way that anybody between 24 and 37 has probably communicated extensively in their lives with AIM.
Huh.
So here's what I'm going to do. No phone calls on Nightmare Vermont tickets. I want to know what everyone's original screen name is. Again, Rich, you don't know what that is. What everyone's original screen name for AIM was. And the coolest original screen name, you're going to get the tickets today. How I feel like
is
doing.
That like your AOL name or
it's
something?
Like, yes. Like my original screen name was Seattle Dude 1024 when I was 10 years old.
I don't even know my legal name. What the hell am I going to know my screen name for?
You were 10 years old on a computer?
Oh, yeah. Like, Craig from Essex already said my name was Drano 40 because he was good at basketball. Like, that's what I want to know.
When I was 10 years old, the big thrill was, is that a color television?
Yeah, no, Rich. It's like everybody's bummed out about the death of AIM. I was bummed out of the death of the 8-track. Remember that when we...
Yes.
Do you know what an 8-track is, Brady? Should I even ask?
I do.
Because when you had an 8-track, if you wanted to hear the same song twice, didn't you have to flip it over and fast forward? Fast forward or rewind.
There was no fast forward or rewind.
So you had to flip it over to the other side.
Yes.
Listen to the damn song that you didn't want to listen to and then flip it back over so you could hear it again.
Yes, and it forced you to listen to something other than the same old hits over and over.
That's the problems we faced with 8-track. There you go. Not AIM. Oh, I can't communicate with the whole world. Oh, my goodness. What am I going to know?
Best AIM screen name. There's Nightmare Vermont.
I can't get a hold of Singapore today. What the hell am I going to do?
It took more than 5 seconds.
Yeah, try not to be able to rewind a song that you want to hear more than once, for crying out loud.
And how about Georgia Middlebury? Chopper G99. That was his AIM screen. This is what I like to hear. This is nostalgia for me.
Nostalgia.
I'm just going to leave this. Yeah, I'm going to leave. When he wrote AIM, I'm like, isn't that a toothpaste? No, I'm serious.
Yes, it was.
It is. I knew it was.
Is it still a toothpaste?
I don't know. No, he's looking it up. I think it was a toothpaste. I'm like,
it was.
Because they stopped making my toothpaste. And I'm like, oh, Brady must get AIM. They must, because I bought that Methadent thing that they stopped making. And I'm like, oh, they must have stopped making AIM, too. They're canceling toothpaste all over the place.
And here's a net look.
I'm serious.
They're canceling toothpaste.
Yeah. I know I'm the guy who just wants to always, like, get us into the show. But I'll deviate for this one for a second. Kevin in South Burlington gave his old screen name. And he goes, how about the old passive-aggressive away messages? Again, neither one of you know what these are.
No, I don't know what that means.
An away message was when you would be away from the computer, you would basically have an auto-generated message, right? So, like, if I was gone all day.
Sort of like email.
Yes.
It says you're out of the office until Monday.
So, like, the generic one was, I'm away from my computer right now. But you could customize it any way you wanted. So, like, that's where if you were having, like, girl problems, you could be like, you could put down, like, no luck with girls. Hit me up if you care. And then 100 people would ask you, what's wrong? And, like, then the conversation would start. And then, like, all the other girls that you were striking out with would come to your aid and start up a conversation with them.
So that's what I did wrong.
It was Tinder before Tinder?
It was subtweeting before Twitter. It was subtweeting before Twitter. You'd put song lyrics in there, you know, that were all depressing and, like, Simple Plan and Linkin Park. And these people would come to your, Brady, what's Simple the matter? And I'd have to tell them, like, you know what, man? It's just, they don't want to talk about it. And then they'd force the issue, and then you'd know who your real friends were.
That sounds like hell.
It does. When I get texts on my national show, I don't even read the name of the people because it doesn't make sense to me. So I go, Dave says, I don't even read, you know, like it has special names. I don't know. It could be like I'm cursing. So I'm just like, Dave says, because I don't know what the hell it means.
If I had to make a big story out of every single time I got dumped, there'd never be any time to do anything else.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
All right. So you got that going for you. Brady's all upset about that. When is it all through October for Nightmare Vermont?
Nightmare Vermont, we're doing tickets every day for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, when is it open? It's open now, though?
It's open just before Halloween. So these tickets are for next weekend.
Okay.
I got to go. I think it's on a Tuesday. We should do our show there. We should do our show from there.
I don't think you can handle it. You're not tough enough.
I am a little scared of stuff like that. I'm seriously.
You don't like things to jump out at you.
No, and I'm afraid. I'm just the only thing I'm really afraid of
is
somebody.
Defenders.
No, I'm just afraid that somebody's going to use like a real chainsaw instead of a fake one by accident. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I took the wrong one. I'm sorry.
I think you're probably pretty safe in this event.
No, you don't know.
With all the people you've offended, though, you never know.
Exactly. Exactly. You're like, oh, it was a total misunderstanding. I thought that was the fake one out there. What's coming up on the show today, Brady? What's coming up?
Yankees beat the Indians. We'll get to Game 5 in a few minutes. Tom Karen of Nesson, 4:35. Buster Olney, a special time, 5 o'clock today, not Wednesday. Zach Cox of Nesson, Patriots Insider, 5:20.
Yep.
Tom Brady not at practice today and injured. But first, I think only one place to start. We didn't really get to do this justice yesterday. The Red Sox lose. Their season's over. As an organization now, fill in the blank, they need to do what?
And the funny part is we're getting more text on what your stupid screen name is than we got on the Red Sox, for crying out loud. Don't play that game with me, people. Oh, it's Skippy 1-2-3. That's fine. Do it. But you better start answering the Red Sox Skippy stuff. All of a sudden, the Red Sox are in the rearview mirror.
They're past. They're old news now.
I really don't even know where to start. As you said, Brady, the things that need to happen for the Red Sox as an organization is what? I guess you got to start at the top. My guess would be, let us know that you're bringing back John Farrell or you're not bringing back John Farrell. If you're going to cut bait, like I said, if you're going to get divorced now. Don't get divorced in a week from now, 2 weeks from now, a year or 2 years. Let's do it, Rich. That's the first place I start.
I actually agree with you. We're one for one in the agreement category. I think you've got to settle Farrell first and foremost. And I'll tell you, I know, Brady, I hate to go along with you here, but I think the redevelopment of the farm system is absolutely, I think you're on the right course.
No, I think you're wrong on that.
I think if you've got these guys healthy coming in next year, I mean, look at this team. How could they possibly lose? And the thing is you've got to figure out, I think you give one more year to figure out what in the world Hanley Ramirez is. Is he done? What is he? I think you give Bogarts, and I don't mean one more year because I know he's 23 or whatever he is, but Bogarts was very mediocre this year. You need to find out what he is. I mean, you go into the season next year with Sale, Price, and now I can't include Porcello. He's not the ex-Cy Young Award winner from the previous year. But Sale and Price at the top of that order, you got to find out what Eduardo Rodriguez is. There's three or four people you've got to figure out what they are. But other than that, I just think tweaking is fine.
The redevelopment of the farm system is something that needs to happen. It's the big move for this organization, and it may not be the sexy move for people that want to say, well, what's the move that's going to help us win the World Series next year? The Red Sox,
not the farm club.
The Red Sox have homegrown talent. 9 homegrown players on this roster in the playoffs, from Benintendi, Bradley, Betts, Pedroia. There's a lot of them there. They've done a good job. But when you look at the teams and the organizations that have depth, like the Dodgers, like Houston, not only do they have those homegrown players making an impact at the major league level, those homegrown players in the minor leagues that are tradable assets. Okay, you only had one, and you traded him in Moncada. You need six Moncadas in the minor leagues because three of them stay with you, and three of them get traded to go help you get bigger assets. If you don't want to just go overspend massively in free agency, it's got to be done on the trade market. And the way to do that is have several good young prospects.
What do you mean if you don't want to overspend?
If you don't want to be saddled...
What do you think baseball is about? It's all about overspending.
If you don't want to be saddled with four contracts like Hanley Ramirez, David Price, what you're going to pay Chris Sale in a few years if you want to keep him, if you don't want to be saddled with all of those, with all of that money, then you better be able to go out and get some guys in the trade market that can help.
Tell that to the Houston Astros, who if they didn't pick up Verlander, wouldn't even maybe be in the situation.
But they had the pieces to go trade for him. That's my point.
But they still picked up that salary. That salary is like an anchor on your neck.
How do we get Chris Sale? We got him because we had a great farm system.
No, but that's not the point. But you didn't have to pay the big... He wasn't getting big money like what's-his-face is.
My point on Verlander, then, is this. The Astros did such a good job with their farm system that all of these guys up here right now are on small level deals. Altuve's wasn't making a ton of money. Springer wasn't making a ton of money. Keuchel wasn't making a ton of money. You had these guys on small level contracts, so you could afford to take on that salary. The Red Sox can't do that.
Let me tell you something. Blank the minor league. I'm sorry. I told you that. If you're worried about the minor league, you're not worried about the big leagues, okay? You're not worried about the Red Sox when you're worried about Pawtucket and all that baloney. And I don't want to hear about grooming them. I don't have time to groom players. I want to go ahead and get stars now. You need another starting pitcher. You need Yu Darvish. And you laughed at me when I said you should have gotten Matt Harvey. Now it's going to cost you a boatload of money. Matt Harvey would be a pretty good addition, like for a third or fourth starter out there, too.
Matt Harvey is your number three?
Is your number four. Do you understand you need pitching? Or am I the only person that realized that? But you're not going to go anywhere. Harvey. You're not going anywhere unless you get pitching. And right now the Red Sox has got a pitching problem.
So you think they would be solved by bringing Matt Harvey into any spot in
first
that rotation?
Of all, it would have been nice to have Matt Harvey.
He's a disaster, Arnie.
Only this year? Was he a disaster?
Arm is falling
Wait a
off.
Minute. Was he a disaster when he was pitching like every inning in the Mets playoffs a couple of years back and wanted to stay in the game in extra innings and all that? No, nobody was saying
Arnie,
that.
Arnie, I know this is where I think you're wrong.
Yeah.
And look at your teams that you're fans of. Why are the New York Giants in the position they're in this position? Why? Because they overspend on free agents like a Brandon Marshall and others, and they massively spend on that defense, and they didn't hit in the draft. Why are New York Knicks in the position that they're in? Because they elected to go the Band-Aid route of Joakim Noah, Derrick Rose, and Brandon Jennings, and they didn't have any draft picks, and they missed on the ones they did have outside of Porzingis.
Yeah, but draft doesn't... Yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
And then look at what the Yankees were up until last year. They were old, they were aging, and they were saddled with giant contracts. Why are the Yankees in this position now? They're in this position now because they traded Brian McCann's big contract. And they're in this position now because they traded Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman and got young pieces that are helping them.
But when you do that, when I say I want to get rid of Pedroia, you tell me nobody who's going to want to take him, or he's you can't do it. Let somebody take that contract. That's like an anchor around your neck.
Well, no, right now they are saddled with a couple of them, obviously, but they're not 5, 6, 7 years down the line other than Pedroia. Is for the most part, and of course the price thing is a mess, but they may still get some value out of him. Who knows what he's going to be next year?
All right, the Town Fair Tire text line, like I said, we're getting more screen names than we are Red Sox fans. 802-655-6672. That's 655-6672. More Red Sox. Also, what are we going to get besides the Red Sox when we get back, Brady?
Yankees, they force Game 5 against the Indians. How do we feel going into Game 5, and do we like the choice for the starting pitcher for the Yanks?
Anything else we may be able to get into?
We'll be getting into Tom Brady's shoulder not feeling so good.
Oh, no.
No! Why am I just hearing about this?
It was news to me when I walked in here.
Why am I just hearing about Tom Brady all beat up like hell?
The sky is falling.
Oh, no. We'll have that when we get back right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The show has a big ego, a big mouth, and a big know-it-all. You figure out which is which. The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. It's a super busy Tuesday. If you want to get in the Town Fair Tire, text line 802-655-6672. Getting a lot of response as we wrap up the Red Sox season. I don't know, this season hurts a little bit more than last season for some reason. I kept thinking, boy, if they didn't give up that extra insurance run in the ninth, maybe this game would have been tied going into the extra innings because they got the inside the park. How about that?
It was weird because maybe it's because I was away all summer and invested in a minor league team of a different franchise, but it just... I never got real attached to the Sox this year. I can't remember ever saying
that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you saw me yesterday on the last out. I was like, oh, well.
I think that's 100% right. We've talked about it a lot this year, and I read Dan Shaughnessy just ripped the Red Sox today in the Boston Globe, and he's right. This team was wholly unlikable from the stuff with Baltimore at the beginning of the year, from the racist fan comments toward Adam Jones, from Dustin Pedroia not being the leader that they needed, from David Price and Dennis Eckersley, from David Price and the media, from them stealing signs and not apologizing for it. None of this team, outside of the win, dance, repeat stuff, which half the people find arrogant and pompous and half the people love, but outside of that, that was the only thing really redeeming about this team.
Yeah, I mean, you saw me yesterday. I mean, and that being said, I watched most of the games. I mean, I spent enormous amounts of time invested in this team emotionally and time-wise, but it just didn't feel weird to me yesterday. It's like, okay, whatever, let's move on.
All right, do you want to do the Yankees first? We got to do Tom Brady. People are wondering, what happened to Brady?
Did his arm fall off?
Pretty much it's the beginning of the end of his career. So why don't we get to that real quick, Brady? Why don't you do that first?
Tom Brady has a sprained AC joint in his left shoulder.
Wow. Oh, good.
So he sprained AC joint in his left shoulder.
Which we knew.
He injured that shoulder in week 4 against Carolina, re-aggravated in week 5. X-ray or MRI results are negative. He's expected to play this Sunday, not expected to miss time.
He missed today's practice, though. Are we 100% sure about that? Because the last I heard was that maybe he was coming up after the reporters had to leave after the first 10 or 15 minutes.
Well, we won't officially know until tomorrow because the media is not allowed to watch the rest of practice today. So we won't officially know until tomorrow. The injury report doesn't have to come out until tomorrow. And veterans are allowed one rest day in which you don't have to account for them on the injury report.
And the timing is perfect because when the Pats are leading 30-0 at the half over the Jets this week, they could just put Jimmy G in there for the second half.
You know what? I really don't think this is anything major, but if you think about this, Rich, this could be. I mean, when you're 40 years old, I mean, how many more hits you want to be like this? And look, the shoulders, that is one thing. You could pretty much overcome that. If anything was to happen to any of his knees or anything like that, or maybe his head with concussions some more, I would have to think about maybe thinking of, this is my last year or two. And by the way, will Tom Brady give us a year heads up before he steps on down, or will he not give us a year's heads up and just say that my career is now over?
We can only hope, at least this is me, you know how I feel about goodbye tours. I hope and pray that Tom Brady just leaves the game when he's ready to leave so we don't have to go through these endless ceremonies before every game.
I would like him to let us know so we can honor him because he is the greatest quarterback perhaps in the history of football.
You can honor him before the final Patriots home game. Don't give him rocking chairs in San Diego. Well, there is no team in San Diego. Arizona or whatever. And waste all that time doing that stuff for things he doesn't care about.
Do I think this injury is a huge injury for Brady? No. He played last week with a shoulder issue. He's supposed to play this week with a shoulder issue, and I'll take that at face value and say that he's okay. That said, this team has an offensive line issue right now. They've allowed 16 sacks on Brady, which is more than he faced in the 12 games he played last year, and that's a problem. He's been hit, on pace to be hit more than any time in any season in his career. So if it's not this injury, Arnie, you're right. What could be next? What could be next for that shoulder? All it takes is one blindside hit on that shoulder where there's impact for it to dislocate or something.
When you're that age, everything's serious, by the way.
All it takes is one sack where you land directly on that shoulder for it to be something that really, really hurts.
How many times as Pats fans, well, you wouldn't know, neither of you are that, but as Pats fans, have we held our breath as he got smacked down to the carpet again this year? We've seen it so many times. He's bounced right back up, but eventually that's going
to
get him.
You know what? I should correct myself, and you guys should have taken me to task on this. When I said it's just his shoulder, you could always overcome that with rest. Did it not just cost Tony Romo his career? I mean, it happened three times.
But that's broken clavicle.
Well, okay. Dislocation, broken clavicle. Yes, he's not at that point, but as you said, it could make it that much worse. Tony Romo lost his job and then pretty much he's out of football. One break like that, and I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but you would think that he's more vulnerable to something like that now. I
just feel like we're really picking at stuff that doesn't exist. I understand a sprained shoulder is a serious thing, but as you said, he played with it. He played with something wrong in weeks 3 and 4. I mean, Brady's having another one of those classic Hall of Fame years. What indication is there that any of this has made any difference?
It's not so much that this has made a difference now. It's trying to be predictive of what's coming, possibly. And if an offensive line can't protect you, then I think that is a worry. And that's a worry for every quarterback in the league that's not Tom Brady for their offensive lines that struggle. I'd worry the same thing about Eli Manning, Russell Wilson, and others that are running for their lives this season. But more so on Brady, you'll know how bad this is on Sunday in their play calling, because we've seen them throw the ball 45 times and let him drop 7 steps back and throw the ball vertically down the field. If they go back to 2-step drop and ball out, or they go to 33 runs in this game so that Brady doesn't have to throw that much, maybe it's more serious than we thought.
By the way, if Brady was just a normal Hall of Famer, let's take a normal Hall of Famer right now playing in the NFL, Ben Roethlisberger. That guy dropped off the face of the cliff after throwing 5 interceptions. And remember, maybe he knew something that we didn't know when he said that he was going to retire. And some people said, oh, he was just doing it to get the organization, blah, blah, blah. Maybe he knew something. He's 35. He's 5 years younger than Brady. He looks, his body's probably is like 10 years older than Brady.
He's been banged all said up, and done. Too.
Well,
constantly.
Do you think Brady wants to walk away from the game like Ben Roethlisberger? Do you think he wants? Of course not, but yet he doesn't seem to care. He'll play forever.
Doesn't seem to have sustained the injuries that Roethlisberger has since the beginning of his career.
You know what I saw the other day as I was scrolling through Twitter, and this is absolutely true. The quarterbacks that were drafted in 2004, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, they all look relatively old or certainly worse than that. Rivers is on a bad team, but he looks okay.
Right.
But Manning and Roethlisberger severely look hampered, right? Alex Smith and Aaron Rodgers were drafted 1 year after those guys.
And they don't look
And they don't look old at all.
They don't look nearly as old.
And you can say Smith, he was benched for a time. He didn't start right away, whatever it is. So maybe he hasn't taken
the hits. Well, Rodgers sat on the bench a long time.
So that's 3 years. Of it. But Eli Manning sat on the bench for a time, too, behind Kurt Warner. But those guys drafted just 1 year apart look significantly better than their 2004 counterparts.
I tell you, Alex Smith is, I wouldn't say under the radar, because nothing's under the radar in the NFL when it comes to quarterbacks. But he's got to be the first half so far MVP of the league, doesn't he? I mean, how old is that guy? Is he 34? Game manager?
It's either one or two, and I think he's number two now behind Aaron Rodgers.
There you go. Those two 30-somethings are the MVPs.
No, and if anybody wanted to make a case for him, I certainly wouldn't argue. There are certainly one, two right now. Of course, you got a long way for the season, but if we're doing the quarter poll or whatever it was, I would have those guys one, two.
Yeah, it's a hell of a breakout season for a lifelong game manager.
All right, Brady, we'll do the Yankees later on, but I do want to get to the ultimate Boston sports fan qualifier that we've got to get, right?
The ultimate Boston. Boston sports fan, we're going to get two qualifiers right now because we didn't do it yesterday and we didn't do it Friday, so we're a little bit behind. We're looking to make up for that. Ultimate Boston sports fan, we've got tickets for you to the Celtics, Bruins, and Patriots all in the same weekend, November 24th through 26th, thanks to our friends over at Mortgage Financial, home of the no-cost refinance. So get in now. Caller number 7, 802-655-6672. And Arnie, just because I know you like to hear it, I might as well get it out there.
There you go.
We didn't hear any of that at the Garden yesterday.
There you go. When we get back, Tom Karen and Nesson stops on by. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN.
The commercials are over and the guys are back. The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Guys, right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he does every week from this, and it's our buddy Tom Karen. How you doing, DC?
Good. How are you doing, guys?
Doing great.
All right.
Right off the bat, what was your initial reaction when the game went final, the Red Sox lost 5-4? The first thing I'm thinking is, man, they gave up that extra insurance run. They sure could have gotten that one back. But what was your initial reaction?
Well, it was a wild game yesterday. I mean, it really was. That's an epic playoff game. And the last two games at Fenway were great games. And my initial reaction was, where was that in game one and two? Where was that fight in Houston? They rolled over and looked like a Triple-A team. for those two games in Houston. And then they came back to Fenway Park, you know, and they showed some fight. They battled back from a 3-0 deficit in game three yesterday, get the lead back off Verlander in game four. And like you said, you know, Devers gets that inside the park home run in game in the ninth inning, and the fans have come to life, and that extra run kills you. But I don't know where that fight was. It looked like they didn't seem ready to go in the first two games of the postseason. And then my other immediate reaction was, you know, as Yogi Berra said, deja vu all over again, right? I mean, Chris Sale, 2017, is Pedro Martinez, 2003. Get him out of there. Why? I had no – why was he back out of the eighth inning? He looked tired to me in the seventh. He got through missing a couple of locations. I know he said he was strong, and he's your best pitcher, but you got Addison Reed to be your eighth inning guy. Give him the ball. Let Kimbrel pitch the ninth and take it to the bank. Why they deviate from that, I just don't understand.
So, Tom, seeing I'm a guy, a Boston sports fan, whose glass is always half full,
yes.
Right? What can you hang your hat on in a positive way for this season?
Nothing.
Well, let's start with Devers. You know, that's the youngest player in Red Sox history to hit a playoff home run. 20 years old, inside the park home run in the ninth inning of the final game of the playoffs. Are you kidding me? There's a lot there. Devers is going to be one heck of a player. And I thought Andrew Benintendi looked pretty good. You know, got that home run off Verlander, gave them the lead. So there's a couple of really young guys who showed themselves really well. The catching, I think, is in good stead. They're not that far off, okay? I mean, they need to fix some things, and it begins with power. This team needs power. We ran a list during the postgame show yesterday of some of the free agents available, and there is massive power available on the free agent market. It begins with J.D. Martinez, and you talk about Jay Bruce, Moustakas, and Hosmer from Kansas City, Carlos Santana from Cleveland. You know, you grab a couple of those guys and drop them in the middle of this lineup, now we're talking.
TC, I was going to ask you what you think they need. You've answered it with power, but what about my thought, a recommitment to the farm system? It's not that they don't have homegrown players, but they need a new influx of homegrown talent so that they can go out and make some big trades and not have to massively overspend, a la what Houston has done. How vital is that?
Well, it's important. I just think you're at the other end of the cycle with the Red Sox. You know, your young players are already in the majors, right? 20-year-old Rafael Devers, 23-year-old Andrew Benintendi. You know, you got 25-year-olds in Betts and Bogarts. Vasquez is still young. Bradley's not that old. You know, that you don't see it on the pitching side. That's where, you know, you might have a little bit of crisis down the road, because what you've had to do is you know, make long-term commitments to Rick Porcello and David Price, and you know, those guys are aging before our eyes.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with the age. My bigger question is, you know, does this young group, who we've talked about them building around for a while now, are they a group that can win in the playoffs? Mookie Betts, and I love Mookie Betts, he's by any measure one of the best players in Major League Baseball. He doesn't have a postseason RBI. And he's played seven games, and he was cleanup in four of them this year. Not one RBI. And I know you got to get all guys on base, and RBI is, you know, a collective stat. But I need my cleanup hitter to drive into the run. Their top five guys in the lineup yesterday combined for three RBI over four games. You know, Devers had five. So, I mean, I need to know that these guys, you know, Jackie Bradley Jr. is a 120 hitter in his postseason career. Bogarts went one for whatever he was, 19. I know it was a home run in the first inning. It was good, but he was 0-for-14 prior to that. You know, the playoffs are different. You gotta strap it on and stand up and be strong in the playoffs. And not all of these young guys have shown that. So let's go to the extreme now on this. You want to take a few of them, try to get Giancarlo Stanton? And that's where the discussion goes. Right, who are you willing to give up to get the best home run hitter in baseball? Because the Marlins they're willing to answer the phone if you make an offer. And you know, like I said, some of these young guys, you can't keep them all anyway, because at some point you're going to have to lock them all up, and you can't give everybody $300 million.
Right.
So it's an interesting time here for Dombrowski to see where he goes.
All right, well, you mentioned you can't keep all the young guys. Let's talk about some of the older guys. Let's talk about somebody like Dustin Pedroia, has, what, 4 or 5 years left on the contract. I said this. Look, if you're going to get divorced, why not get divorced now instead of 3-4 years from now? If you know that it's going to happen, why wait? What's going on? What are your thoughts when I bring up Dustin Pedroia and what should be done?
Well, first and foremost, he's a 10-5 guy, so he can veto anything you want to do. So, you know, he's got no trade approval now that he's been here, you know, 10 years in majors, 5 years with one team, you automatically get that. So you can't do anything you want without Dustin Pedroia agreeing to it. I would bet dollars to donuts right now that he won't be on the roster at the beginning of the year because I think he's going to be on the DL because I think he's going to have to get something done to that knee. That wow. knee is bad. He's going in next Tuesday for a consultation. I heard stories about that knee late in the year. It was remarkable that he was getting on the field at all. But he clearly wasn't himself. And you know, he's aging before our eyes. You talk about a guy getting older. I think next year what you need is Pedroia to come back for, you know, with a healthy knee. And frankly, I think he needs to play less and bat lower in the batting order. And don't lean on him like he's a 150-game-a-year guy who's going to bat second all year. That's not Dustin Pedroia anymore. I still think he'd help the team. Remarkable defender at second base, one of the best at the position. And I think you sit him down in back third of the order or, you know, 6-7, and he's going to drive in some runs and surprise you there. But I think it's time to start realizing you're going to have to manage his playing time a little more carefully.
So I'm speaking of guys heading forward with a question mark. I mean, what about David Price? I mean, he looked obviously awfully good in his new role for the end of the season. But, I mean, do you feel like he can win back the fan base? And what is his role going into next year? I assume he's a starter.
Yeah, for that money, he's a starter. No doubt about that. You can't play him in that kind of role for 6 months. Interesting conversation with A.J. Hinch, the Astros manager, yesterday about the way teams are using bullpens. And you look around Major League Baseball, starting pitchers haven't accounted for half the innings. Bullpens are pitching more than half of these games right now in the playoffs. And that's the way these playoff games have gone now. You know, it's like a race. How quickly can you get your starter out of there? You can't do that over 6 months. It's not sustainable. So there's no chance, even if you wanted to, there's no way to have David Price do that over 6 months. You just blow him out. So he's got to be a starter next year. You ask two questions. What's he got to do to pitch well? Well, he's got to start. He's got to make 28, 30 starts. And, you know, you'll take what you got in year one again, 17 wins and an ERA down in the threes. I mean, after the injuries, I think that's fine. As far as winning over the fans, listen, he's made it pretty clear he doesn't care. That post-game press conference in game three, Dan Shaughnessy a couple of times asked him about the fans, and he wasn't going there. He wanted to talk about his performance. He wanted to talk about winning for the team. He has lumped the media and the fans, and they're all out there. They're all against us. And that's a tough way to survive in Boston. And if you're going to do that, you better win him back over with your performance on the mound. And the guy who did it, was John Lackey, right? Everybody hated him. And then he helped you win the World Series. Everybody loved him, and, you know, he didn't tip his cap. He didn't flip you off, but he didn't have anything nice to say on the way out of town, that's for sure.
Tom Karen of Nesson with us here on the Huddle right now on 101.3 ESPN. The big elephant in the room, John Farrell, back or no?
And I hate to straddle the fence. That's such a tough one. I've been 50-50 on it since the last out yesterday. A lot of people I talk to are the same way. I will say that traditionally the Red Sox hold a press conference the day after the season with the GM and the manager, right? And Dombrowski and Farrell did that last year. And you remember that's when Dombrowski said, I just told him I picked up his option for 2018. I think it's a little bit telling that they didn't have that press conference today. I think that the players had their media availability today, and they said Dombrowski and Farrell will have press conferences later this week. That tips me a little more to the side of a change is coming than not, because I think if everything was going to be the same, you would have told us that today. And so I don't know that it means they've made their mind up, but it sounds to me like there's going to be some meetings, or there are meetings happening over on Four Yawkey Way about the future of the manager. So 50-50 at best, maybe a little less than that right now for Farrell's return.
TC, what about Bradley and Bogaerts? It felt like a minor regression happened. Is Bogaerts that 270, 1060 guy? I mean, is that what he is? And Betts lost 40 points in his batting average. I mean, what's the feeling on Yawkey Way about their seasons.
Well, I think Betts had a fine season. The home runs and the RBI were there, and his average came up at the end. I think Betts was fine. Bradley is a streaky guy, and you're just going to have to live with that. You know, he'll hit 320 for a month, and he'll hit 160 for a month. And that's the way it is. But Bogaerts is the conundrum to me, because I would have been all in on Bogaerts 2 years ago. In fact, I would have said, if you had to pick one guy to build this around, is it Bogaerts or Betts? I would have said Bogaerts, because I just thought he had the makeup to be a shortstop that's going to be a superstar for a long time to come. And the power hasn't been there. I thought, you know, last year was a step forward in the power, and I thought it would have continued this year, but it was a huge step back power-wise. He did spend a month or more with that hand injury, and I think that really, really affected him at the plate. But a very disappointing postseason. So, you know, again, a guy who's getting closer. You got a couple years left. He's only got 2 years left before you be a free agent. And you got to make some tough decisions coming up here.
TC, Bruins are withstanding some injuries. A tough loss yesterday at home to Colorado. A bad loss at home. Your thoughts on the 1 week old Bruins?
Well, they seem like they're 1 week old. I mean, a lot of young guys on the ice there. And, you know, you take Bergeron out of that mix, and obviously we know what that means. The injuries weren't great. And, you know, yesterday, where on opening night, you love the youth and you love the energy, and they were buzzing around like a bunch of little gnats, which is what this team has to do. And then yesterday, they were just running around like a bunch of young guys who were trailing. And once they were down a couple of goals, they seem to lose all their structure and all their form. So welcome to the Bruins of 2017-2018. You got a young team, and I think when you have a young team, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get your ups, you're going to get your downs, and it's going to be a little bit of a roller coaster ride.
Well, TC, it's like you're almost on vacation now that you don't have to cover the Sox every day. It's like you
season is here, boys.
Get up. Hello, Maine.
I love it. Hey, TC, thanks. Always a pleasure. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Always love catching up with TC, guys. Lots to get to. It was Buster Olden. He's also going to join us today at the top of the hour. I want to get back because we got Gone But Not Forgotten. So lots to get to. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Tuesday, which means it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Brought to you by Elmwood Minya Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington.
All right, guys, time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Minier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington. I'll start things off. Brady, you might not know Orson Welles. Do you know who Orson Welles is?
He was either a singer or a comedian back in the day.
He was neither. He was a radio type guy, and he pulled off the biggest radio stunt in all of the world when he told people on his radio show, War of the Worlds, that Martians were landing on planet Earth. Brady, knock wood, it was so real and so realistic, and Rich, you can vouch for me, people started killing themselves and jumping off of buildings, committing suicide, because they thought we were getting invaded by Martians. Did they not?
I didn't know it went to quite that extreme.
There was panic in the streets, and people killed themselves.
They hung out with Orson Welles on I Love Lucy.
Yes, there you go.
That's how I know him.
Wow. No, I think that was Gilligan's Island, but I'm not sure on that. Yul Brynner died. You remember Yul Brynner back in 1985? He was 65 years old.
Ben-Hur, I think.
Also, The Ten Commandments, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes, he was a big-time actor.
Big muscle dude.
And he did a commercial before he died about smoking, anti-smoking, and said, you see me now, but I'll be dead in 6 months because of smoking.
Yeah.
It was a very powerful
bald
message.
Guy. Yeah. Like you, Arnie.
Yes, exactly. Red Fox. You remember Red Fox? Sanford and Son. He was one of the dirty... You don't know who Red Fox is, do you?
I know Sanford and Son.
Yeah, he was the old man. He was one of the dirtiest comics ever.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Curmudgeon-y guy.
Passed away in 1991. He was 68 years old. And Christopher Reeve back in 2004 at the age of 52 years old.
Right? We had his son, Will Reeve, on Middlebury.
Right. Exactly.
Middlebury graduate, ESPN. Worker.
That is right.
On this day, we lost somebody named Eleanor Rigby. There really was an Eleanor Rigby.
Have you from the Beatles song?
Yes.
Really? Is that
yes.
what? Eleanor Rigby.
It was a real person whose name may have suggested to the title of the Beatles song.
Wow. Who was? Was it? Was
it doesn't say. It just says she was a real person.
Wow.
I wonder if she darned her song. How does that song?
Eleanor Rigby.
How bad is that? We know the words Eleanor Rigby.
But that's it. That's all I know there. Yeah, you could send us the words on the Talent Fair Tire text line. Brady. what do you have for us?
My fantasy football dream of a perfect season, yeah. Now gone but not forgotten.
Oh.
I took my first L this week, losing to our sales guy, Chris. I was 4-0. He was 0-4.
Wow. But
I lost three players to injury, Devontae Parker, Sterling Shepard, and Travis Kelce, and had two players on the bye.
Sounds like excuses.
And Devonta Freeman and Matt Ryan. It's 100% an excuse, but 100% justifiable one.
Oh, it was beautiful.
And Rich beat me.
Don't forget, Town Fair Tire text line, someone reminds us, Y.A. Tittle, who we lost yesterday.
Oh, I didn't see that. Y.A. Tittle.
Y.A. Tittle.
The former quarterback. Yeah. Remember him. Yeah.
By the way, Eleanor Rigby is the one that waits at the window wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door.
Yeah. Yes, I remember that.
See, that just popped into my head.
Oh, I thought somebody sent that in a Town Fair text line. We'll get back. We'll go ahead and speak to Buster Olney. Then remember Zach Cox coming up at about 20 past the hour. Lots going on. Brady will have a Sports Center update right here on 101.3 ESPN.
What crazy thing will Arnie say next? Find out now on The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
Arnie, I'm going to hijack the opening here because I've got to call Buster and get him on, but your wife, who is going to just absolutely just tear me to shreds if I don't get this right. That last Sports Center was brought to us by our friends at Modern Design Furniture. They are hiring a driver, okay? It's a moving job with banker's hours Monday through Friday, alternating Saturdays, Modern Design Furniture in Shelburne. I just don't want her to yell at me.
I got to do that, too. It's my turn, but she's going to yell at me. And I didn't say this. Thanks to our friends after we did Gone But Not Forgotten, our friends over at Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center at Burlington. They care about your entire family. They even handle pet loss and offer an assortment of keepsakes. Call them 24/7, Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington. And we do appreciate that. Rich, since you've been gone, we get a lot of people that want to be part of the show. So
go figure.
So we wanted to make sure we get in all our new sponsors, all our old sponsors, and everybody that's been around for a long time.
And if it hadn't been your wife that would have been involved in that, he would not have made that change because he knows the wrath of that woman.
And she came in here 7 seconds ago and said, read this. So,
and she's the only person I've ever met in 38 years of radio who doesn't care if the on-air light is on.
You care. You didn't come in, but she walked right in.
We have this bright on-air light in our hallway that almost blinds you. She doesn't see it.
By the way, we're going to get more sponsors starting next week. So,
really?
New ones to Power Play. A lot of people want to be part of the show. So
good. We get to keep our jobs.
It is. It's crazy because when we started about a year ago, we were about as light as can be on commercials. I want to say that. So now we are more than healthy, no doubt about
that.
It's
all you, Arnie.
Yeah, of course. So let's go to the Town Fair Tire. No, let's go to the TikTok Jewelers. Oh, my goodness. Did I say that?
Too many sponsors.
Town Fair Tire, text line, the TikTok Jewelers, guest line, all that stuff. Our MLB insider at ESPN. It's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing great, guys. What's going on?
Well, now that Joe Girardi has survived because he didn't look at the replay, give me your first thoughts. We're tied up 2-2. Did you think it was going to get back to this situation? And did you think that Girardi was going to go ahead and survive something like this?
I still wonder, no matter how the Yankees season turns out, whether or not he's going to be back as manager for sure, because the one thing we haven't heard from Joe, whose contract expires at the end of the season, is, I want to come back to be the manager. It feels like, and I think John Farrell's situation is very much the same way, that it's just sort of reached his expiration date. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe Girardi seems different at the end of the postseason, but you guys heard how emotional he was after the game last night, near tears, talking about what he had gone through. I have known Joe for 20 years. I wouldn't pretend that I'm a close friend of his by any means. If I was a close friend, I'd say to him, are you really having that much fun doing this job? Because he certainly seems like someone who it absolutely has become an arduous process for him to be manager of the Yankees.
Buster, I know he kind of poo-pooed it and just blew it off at his press conference, but do you think that booing, and I couldn't believe it when I heard it, do you think that booing bothered him?
Yes, I do. Now, I do think he also, what he said at the press conference, I think he absolutely believes. I mean, during his time as a player, he heard Mariano Rivera booed, and he heard Derek Jeter booed. He heard Joe Torre booed at some point. So, when he said, folks with more worthy pedigrees than mine have been booed, that's right. But Joe, that was the worst he's been booed during his entire time with the Yankees. 14 seasons, 4 as a player, 10 as a manager. And I think it probably just one more brick in the whole question of, is this enjoyable for you? And I suspect it probably hadn't been too very enjoyable for him. I think he likes working with younger players, but I think that's a job that's really, really hard. And after a while, maybe it's time to move on.
Wow. Buster, let's go to the game itself tomorrow. Corey Kluber didn't look like the Cy Young front runner in Game 2. What can we expect out of him tomorrow?
Well, and there is some buzz among evaluators that he's got an ankle issue. I checked on that with the Indians people today, and they say, you know, yes, he hurt his ankle back in August against the Kansas City Royals, but he's pitched great since then. They don't think that's much of an issue. I was standing there in the Indians clubhouse last night when Kluber was asked about, are you healthy? And Corey Kluber, you guys know how stoic he is on the mound. Can you imagine asking him that question and what the response was? I mean, his face didn't twitch a bit. No, I'm fine. It sounded like a robot because that's the type of, you know, competitor he is. He's not going to relent on anything. I will tell you this, that, I mean, I think the Yankees have a real chance to win this game. Not only did they get to Kluber the last time, but the Indians lineup, and as much as we've been talking about Girardi and the calls and what's going to happen with Joe, I think probably the topic that hasn't been discussed enough is the impact of the loss of Edwin Encarnacion for the Indians lineup. Yeah. It's a mess right now. They're not hitting. Jose Ramirez, MVP candidate, looks like he's putting a lot of pressure on himself to try to make things happen. He has more strikeouts in this series than he did in the entire month leading up to this series. And they have to get their offense right if they're going to win this game. And I think that the Yankees are going to be playing very loose, and they got CC Sabathia on the mound, and guys, you know how fired up he's going to be to take that ball in a game 5 in the city where he used to pitch.
Well, was that a choice? I mean, are there other people upset why CC and not Sonny Gray? Am I to think that? Because I thought CC was getting the ball the whole time. What'd you think?
Well, first off, CC's pitched really well this year. The one thing that the Yankees have seen in Sonny Gray since he joined the team is that somehow he seems he pitches defensively at times. He doesn't attack hitters. And I think that next spring there's probably going to be a lot of conversation between the Yankees and Sonny Gray that, hey, your stuff is better than you think it is. Whereas CC is with throwing in the low 90s, his fastball diminished. He's figured out how to use all that. He was terrific the other night in his start against the Indians. And the other factor, too, I mentioned the loss of Encarnacion. I can tell you this. CC Sabathia would not be starting this game if Encarnacion was in the Indians lineup because wow. He's a monster right-handed hitter. CC's a left-handed pitcher. I think that would have veered the Yankees probably towards starting Sonny Gray.
Now, Buster, it's hard to say because it depends on what inning we're talking about, but do you see a scenario where Sonny Gray comes in that game, or is it with CC with a very short leash, they're just going to go to that great bullpen?
Yes, I think the bullpen is probably the first on tap in terms of what they go to with the reserves. Look, we saw the Astros yesterday be very aggressive in using Justin Verlander, starter coming out of their bullpen for the first relief appearance of his life. But that's Justin Verlander, and I think that the Yankees have grown to trust their bullpen so much that I do think probably after CC tomorrow you'll see a relay team, Chad Green, David Robertson, Tommy Canley, and Aroldis Chapman with Dellin Betances probably being passed over.
Buster Olney of ESPN joining us here on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Buster, let's go to the Red Sox. After the game yesterday, Red Sox Nation turning on Dustin Pedroia, turning on his postseason numbers, turning on him getting his manager thrown out of the game. Is this thing going to get awkward here as Pedroia ages, his health diminishes, and that contract is still there?
I don't think it's going to be... I don't think it's necessarily going to get uncomfortable, but I do think that because, you know, everyone knows how much Dustin wants to win and how good of a player he's been in the past, but I do think that people probably better start getting used to the idea that he is going to be a diminished player in years to come because that knee issue is a big deal. You know, we talked about it down the stretch. I was there when I think it was Rob Bradford asked Pedroia, you know, do you have torn cartilage in your knee, which is what I've heard as well. And Pedroia looked at him and said, man, I got a lot of things going on in my knee. He did not look the same down the stretch. I mean, let's face it, when you saw how he was trying to run, trying to move, I don't think there's any doubt he's headed towards some sort of a procedure, and he's had enough issues with that knee that you would assume, like all of us who have issues with that sort of thing, that arthritis could be in play. And so I do think probably as the Red Sox make their plans, they would have to make sure that they have a safety net at second base.
Two-part question. Should John Farrell be the coach, manager of the Red Sox next year? Will he be manager of the Red Sox next year?
I don't think there's any chance he's going to be back as manager next season. And if folks in the front office feel like that, as with Girardi, that there's an expiration date, then they should change the manager. If they feel like the message is not getting through, if they feel like that they're going to have somebody with a higher energy level than John, a better connection with the players, then they should make the change, and I would expect they're going to.
Wow. Buster, is there a chance the players are saying, don't do it, we love him?
I don't think that would be the case.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, we heard that earlier in the year, I think he had a thing with Pomeranz about being taken out of a game. Do we know that his message is lost on the veterans? Is it lost on the young players? Is it just he's been there for a long time and maybe he doesn't have the passion for the job he once did?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the answer is. You know, I talk to John during the course of the year all the time. I think he's into it. He goes through the process. He puts in a lot of time. But I saw this with Terry Francona, where he left the Red Sox. He worked with us as a broadcaster. I had conversation with Terry that year, and he looked at me. He's like, Buster, it was just time. Like, and I do think you get to that point where between a manager and his feeling about the job and maybe some bitterness built up or some anger built up or concern versus what a new person coming in the job would bring. And I think that probably is the case with John. John's got a lot of scar tissue built up managing in Boston, which I think is the toughest media city in Major League Baseball.
How important is it as they move forward that this team, at least to me and a lot of other fans, I remember thinking at that last out yesterday, I wasn't really as upset as I usually get when their season ends, that this team wasn't really that likable.
Yeah, and we talked about that during the year, during the David Price thing. I do think that they need to get that squared away, and they need to figure out how to get David in particular to move past what happened. Now, he pitched great at the end, and he was cheered at Fenway Park, but there can't be, and I've been in their clubhouse this year, there definitely was a sense among the writers covering the team that it just simply was a team that was going to block people out and that they were angry. And that might be useful for a day or two, but I just don't know if that's something that is helpful during the course of the year. When players have to focus their energy on some particular issue, you don't want it to be on that. I mean, spending time with the Indians during this postseason again, covering their games against the Yankees, that team has so much fun, and they enjoy themselves. You're around the Astros, and there's some resentment in that clubhouse toward their front office, but generally speaking, between Altuve and Correa and Josh Reddick and Brian McCann, that team has a blast. The Dodgers have gotten their clubhouse figured out. They have fun. And so to have all this energy seemingly targeted toward what the media says and does, who cares? At some point, you got to figure out a way to enjoy yourself and have fun playing and showing up at the park every day.
Buster, last question. You mentioned the Dodgers. I guess they were just waiting for the playoffs to start to turn it on again, huh?
Man, they look great. I would say this, and this isn't to diminish, because they played a tremendous series against the Diamondbacks. I thought the Diamondbacks, what happened to them, really showed you that this current format emphasizes the importance of winning your division, because they had to play the wild card game. They faced the Rockies, and in that game they had to use Robbie Ray in relief through 2 1/3 innings. He couldn't start game one against the Dodgers. He was their big secret weapon. They rushed him to come back and start game two. He wasn't the same. His velocity was down. So all these dominoes were set in place with their pitching staff because they had to play in the wild card game. And that's fair. Over 162 games, yeah. The Dodgers earned the right to have the Diamondbacks have their pitching staff a mess when that series started.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Buster, always a pleasure. We always appreciate you taking time to join us. We know it's a busy time for you. Thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
That sounds great, guys.
Take care. Thanks, Buster Olney, everybody, our MLB insider at ESPN.
You told him to enjoy the weekend on Tuesday afternoon.
It's coming up. Fast.
It's always coming up in our world.
Two things real quick. One, John Farrell. I was a little surprised. Did he say John Farrell shouldn't come back or won't come back? Because
he thinks both.
Okay, maybe we're too close to the situation. I've not heard any rumors of him not coming back. And I thought, you know, we would hear stuff trickling out now because they'd say, oh, there's going to be a press conference on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or something like
that. Amazing. You got a team with 93 wins and a team with 90 wins, and both Tim Kurkjian and Buster in his case, thinking that the managers are both out the door.
Yeah, and I think it was interesting as far as Farrell goes, because the difference between Girardi and Farrell is that, whereas Buster said, Girardi hasn't said, I want to be back. I want this job. This is my dream job. Farrell said yesterday after the game, he goes, I think I'm the manager for this team. He goes, I think I can get this done. It's evident to me Farrell wants this job. The question about Girardi is, A, do they want him, and B, does he want them still? Farrell wants this job. Then it's a question of, does the front office want Farrell? That's where the disparity is.
Were you surprised when you saw him break down at that press conference last night?
No, honestly.
It indicated to me that maybe this is it for him, and he knows it.
We're not supposed to, you know, we're conditioned to think, you know, no crying in baseball kind of thing. Yeah, crying from grown men.
Tom Hanks said that.
Yeah, no crying in sports, tough guys, all that. But the thing with Girardi is, I've defended Girardi for years, and I understand, you give me the challenge thing, you give me the bullpen use, like a game in May. People give me that stuff all the time, but the bottom line is this. This guy has won a World Series, and he's dealt with A-Rod twice, he's dealt with Chapman twice, Jeter, Rivera, the retirement tours, he's dealt with...
Rebuilding.
Dealt with the rebuild, Austin. And still got this team in contention every single year. I don't know. Be careful what you wish for, Yankee fans who want Girardi out.
Brady, real quick, can you read the text, Tom Fairtire, text on Tim and St. Albans, because I know you answered him, and we get this question a lot, so a lot of people ask this, so we should give the answer again.
All right, Tim and St. Albans goes, Brady, why do you not stream the Patriot games? Why do you not stream the Red Sox games on your website? Here's the answer. It's an MLB, it's an NFL rule that we cannot stream the games online. The reason being is this. If we gave you the game for free online and you could access it anywhere, you would not go out and purchase MLB TV, MLB Audio, the NFL Red Zone channel, anything where the NFL is going to make money on you going out to get those out-of-market games, that is why we cannot stream them.
Well, it's not our choice.
It's not our choice.
If we could stream it, we would stream it. It wouldn't bother us. You could stream it. You could hear it on the radio. Nothing like that bothers us.
Contractual obligation.
Right, yeah, there's a lot of those.
Because I get that all the time. Why can't I hear the game? Especially when I'm doing national radio, why can't I hear this game?
Right.
I go, they don't allow you to carry it. It's not like we cut it off. They cut it off.
And by the way, we will have that Yankees game on tomorrow.
Yes.
7:30
absolutely.
Pregame.
Brady, two more qualifiers we got to get here.
A couple things here to go on. One, Nightmare Vermont tickets. Oh. You want them? Here's how we're giving them away. Text in your original AIM screen name. And the reason why we're doing that is because AIM in hour one, we told you, is shutting down officially on December 15th. I'm crushed about it.
I'm crushed.
I've never heard of it.
Anyone between the age of 23 and 40 has probably heard of it and or used it extensively.
That's not us.
It's not either one of you. So your original screen name, you're going to get the best answer is going to get the tickets. As far as the ultimate Boston sports fan, I need two qualifiers now to help us play catch up on the days we've been off the air. Tickets to the Patriots, the Celtics, and the Bruins, November 24th through 26th. So it's two games on the 24th and it's one on the 26th. Tickets to those games, hotels in Boston. Here's the sounder. It's coming now. Caller 7. 802-655-6672.
All right, we'll get the two qualifiers when we get back. Though Zach Cox, our Patriots insider at Nesson, will stop on by. That's next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local sports talk show. Nothing else comes close. Come to think of it, there isn't anything else. The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back here in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Had to switch some things around today. Usually we get all of our Patriots questions answered with Zach Cox of Nesson at 5 o'clock on Tuesday. But Zach, kind enough to join us at 5:20 because Buster only joined us at 5 o'clock. Zach, we know the big story of the day, Tom Brady not at practice early, sprained AC joint in his left shoulder. Look, media wasn't allowed really around practice today, so I'm not even going to bother you asking you about that craziness. We'll wait for the details to come out tomorrow. Let's go to the Patriots as they get ready for the Jets. Both teams are 3-2, but Zach, it feels like the Pats haven't played in forever because of this not playing since last Thursday.
Yeah, and I was actually just about to say the same thing. It feels like it's been a month since we saw the Patriots on the field. I kind of like these Thursday games. Not gonna lie, gave me a nice weekend off. Don't get that too much during the regular season.
Two part question: what do the Patriots do on the mini bye, and what does Zach Cox do on the mini bye?
Zach Cox took it easy on the on the mini bye, which kind of enjoyed a little bit of life away from the stadium. Sounds like the Patriots did pretty much the same thing. They were off for the entire weekend. They're going to be back at practice today. They were initially not planning on going to practice until Wednesday, but last minute change, they decided to have a session today. So they'll be back on the field after a nice couple days off.
The Patriots and Jets in a battle in mid October. Who would have thought they'd both be 3-2? I don't think any Vegas odds makers have that.
Absolutely not. I remember before the season we were talking about the potential for their Week 17 matchup being against the team trying to go 16-0 and another team trying to avoid going 0-16. I definitely did not expect these teams to have the same record coming into this week. I don't think the Jets are as good as their record indicates. I mean, they've won three straight games against three either bad or pretty streaky teams. We don't really know how good the Jaguars are yet, but I don't think the Dolphins and the Browns are anything special. But I mean, you got to give them credit. Like you can only teams can only do what their teams can only play the teams that are on their schedule. And so far, the Jets they've taken care of business. I mean, against, like I said, three kind of not particularly talented teams. But if this team that many people were expecting could legitimately go 0-16, they're now above 500. It's pretty impressive.
Let's go back one step before we go back forward with the Jets. You walked out of Tampa Bay on Thursday night. Did you feel better about the Patriots, or did you have even more questions that still need answering?
I felt better. I think the biggest question going into that game was the defense. I think the defense played very well for most of the night. They kind of let Jameis Winston rack up some stats there in the fourth quarter. But overall, I mean, they only allowed 14 points after allowing 33 each of the previous 2 weeks. Definitely some things to get cleaned up on that side of the ball still, especially when they play a quarterback who maybe is a little more accurate than Jameis was. But overall, yeah, I mean, defense was the big question. I think defense was pretty solid in that game. With Thursday night games, you always expect some wonky stuff to happen. I mean, I wasn't surprised to see a weird scoreline like a 19-14 in that game. Obviously, the offense wants to score more than 19 points a game. I mean, they had some issues down in the red zone, only put over one touchdown. But overall, I think it was a pretty solid game, and I think you kind of saw the same sentiment from talking to the players afterwards.
Now, I think a lot of our listeners thought that also, but I guess I took the glass half empty approach on this one. I said, look, you needed to rely on three missed field goals. Call it two because 56 yards is no gimme at the end of the first half. But two missed field goals. You committed 12 penalties. You turned it over twice. You didn't force a turnover. I saw some things there that really left me just wondering about this team still. Why don't you see it that way?
Well, it's true. I don't want to say that the game was a slam dunk win that kind of erased all of the doubts that we have about this team. I just think it was they did most of the things that we didn't see them do earlier in the season. Now, like you said, there are plenty of things that they need to clean up. 12 penalties is absurd. I think the officiating crew kind of squeezed them on a couple of those, but still, you can't put yourself in that kind of situation. I mean, the two consecutive roughing the passer penalties, one on a Hail Mary right at the end of the first half, that was inexcusable. You can't have those kind of plays and expect to be a legitimate championship contending team. So there's definitely a lot of stuff to clean up. I think some of the struggles can be kind of chalked up to having only 3 days off between the games. I think that's why you didn't see either team look completely crisp, look as solid as you might expect them to look on a full week. But I think if we're leaning more toward optimism or pessimism after the game, I'm leaning more toward optimism. Again, we're going to see coming into this weekend against a Jets team that regardless of their record, is a team that the Patriots should beat and beat rather handily. If they do that, I think we can probably say that they're back on the right track.
Zach Cox, our Pats insider. If they do get the win, they are 3-2. And as you said, now 10 days to prepare for a team that they're significantly more talented than. They should go to 4-2. And does this feel like the makings of maybe that snowball effect where this team gets on a roll again?
It could be. I mean, we've kind of seen that in recent years. We kind of saw that with the Cincinnati game a couple of years ago in the 2014 Super Bowl season. They kind of came out, beat down Cincinnati, and then sort of rolled from the rest of the rolled through the rest of the season. I think you could definitely see a similar case happen this weekend, especially with if you look at their schedule beyond this game. I mean, they get the Falcons, who are a talented team, but they get them at home and not in Atlanta. Then they play the LA Chargers, who are a very flawed team. So there are a lot of winnable games in the very immediate future for this Patriots team before kind of gets difficult back again at the end of the season. So I think this could definitely be that kind of snowball effect. But if you look at the recent games against the Jets tend to play this Patriots team very well. I mean, if you take out that beatdown that they had in week 16 last season, which I think you kind of can. I mean, Patriots were already on to the playoffs. The Jets were already on to the top of the draft. The previous seven games before that were all decided by 7 points or less. So usually when the Patriots and Jets play, you're going to get a close game regardless of how talented the two teams are. So I think, I don't know, maybe we could see another one of those this weekend since the Jets have been playing teams tight this season for the most part. But, yeah, again, a game that the Patriots definitely should win, and if they do, I think it could be a kind of jumping off point for them.
Zach, your colleagues over at Nesson wrote the article about maybe getting Deion Lewis more involved in the offense. We've seen him take a more active role in the offense over the last 2 weeks. Do you think that trend continues on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the game where we see Deion Lewis get 15 carries or 20 touches or something like that. I think it is coming because, as my colleague Doug Kide wrote this morning, he's been the Patriots' most efficient runner this season. He leads the team in yards per carry. He's also leads them in, I think it's called tackle-breaking efficiency or something like that. Pro Football Focus has one of the stats like that says he's been the best at avoiding tackles this season, which I think is pretty clear from watching on the tape. And you still haven't seen him be kind of he hasn't been a lead back or anything close to a lead back in any of the games this season, but when he's been on the field, I like what I've seen from him. So I think you'll continue to see his role grow, especially if Rex Burkhead remains out. We'll see what the status of his ribs looks like. But yeah, I definitely think you could see Deion Lewis's role continue to grow. So I think he deserves it, honestly.
Zach, let's move to the Jets. Now, again, that team that is a surprise 3-2 coming into this week's matchup. Is there any area on paper where we look at it and say the Jets have an advantage in this spot?
I don't think so. I mean, we were looking at the roster coming into the season, the Jets roster, that is, and it looks like one of the weakest in football. I mean, they still have some talent on the defensive line as they have in recent years, so maybe you could say that unit could kind of has a chance to push around the Patriots' offensive line, which hasn't performed nearly as well as it did last season so far. But overall, I mean, this should be the Patriots have a pretty clear advantage in this game. I mean, Josh McCown has been okay this season. He's been good for what he is. I mean, a 36-year-old career backup, but he's no Tom Brady. I think the Patriots secondary can really take advantage of him as long as they're on the same page, which I think they were last week in Tampa Bay. So on paper, this should be a pretty easy Patriots win. But we've said that about a couple games so far this season, and that didn't really turn out to be the case. So I guess we'll have to see how it looks on Sunday afternoon.
Zach Cox, Patriots insider at Nesson, with us here on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Zach, two more questions, one football-related, one non-football-related, neither related to the Patriots. But I saw you tweeting about it yesterday. I literally stood up and yelled also at that two-point conversion that the Bears ran against the Vikings. That may have been the most well-designed, perfectly executed play I've ever seen in all my years watching football.
It was fantastic. I was sitting on my couch watching that at about whatever it was, 11:30 last night. Literally stood up and yelled to nobody. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a sucker for neatly designed plays like that. But that's something I've never seen before. I mean, that's something you expect to see from Navy or Georgia Southern or one of those option college teams, to see a play that I think I saw someone else tweet. It's very rare to see a play that you've never seen before kind of make its debut at the NFL level. And I was loving it. I would love to see I'd love to see more of that crazy misdirection option stuff come into the NFL.
Let's see Brady get the pitch on the right there and see what happens.
I think Trubisky might have a little edge in athleticism, but yeah, we'll see.
Hey, Zach, we'll get you out of here on this, but I know you've been tweeting about baseball a lot through the year, and a big tenet of today's show has been the Red Sox elimination. John Farrell, you bringing him back next season or not?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, especially just being right at the end of with the season just having ended right now. I don't know. It's tough because the highs are so high with a guy like John Farrell. I mean, he obviously has the World Series, then he has two last place finishes, and now he's led the Red Sox to two AFC East titles. Obviously, they haven't they haven't been able to do much of anything in the playoffs so far. But I think when you some of that has to kind of fall on the roster that he's been given. I mean, if you just look on paper between the Astros and the Red Sox in the series, the Astros were pretty much more talented in almost every area except for maybe closer and maybe one or two others. So it's I think even if you have the best manager in baseball, it was going to be tough to win that series. So I don't know. It's going to be a very interesting summer for the Red Sox, especially after they've done so much spending in these past two off seasons. Really hasn't led to much, so I don't know. I guess they have to make some changes, and we'll see if that's John Farrell.
Zach Cox, our Patriots insider at Nesson, and our resident Red Sox expert, too, is we're one day removed from the Sox elimination.
Part-time Red Sox expert, yeah.
Hey, Zach, we appreciate the time and perspective, as always. We'll see you next week, hopefully after another Pats win.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right. Good job by Brady getting Zach Cox, our Patriot insider at Nesson, as we speak to him every week. Just a couple things on that. You know, real quick, I want you to read Alex and Moncton's tweet because he wanted to talk about the Yankees. He's a Yankee fan real quick.
Yeah, Alex and Moncton. I'm a Yankees fan. All the, quote, fans calling for Girardi's head are nearsighted. Remember when everyone in New York wanted Tom Coughlin gone?
That's true.
All welcome him back with open arms.
Oh, that is so true.
I don't get it either. I don't understand. The booing shocked me. And it wasn't light booing. That whole place was booing him.
A lot of fans are against Joe Girardi. And in a 162-game season, Chris Sale said this yesterday about John Farrell. In a 162-game season, 9 innings a time, maybe more, yes, there's going to be moments where you can second-guess things. But by and large, 93 wins when you had a pitcher like Porcello regress so heavily, you had Bogarts and Betts regress offensively, you lost David Ortiz, David Price was hurt, your big bullpen acquisition didn't even pitch one inning this season, and you still go 24 games over .500. There's something there that said John Farrell worked.
Last tweet I want to get to. Arnie, why do you work harder than the other two? Rich had 4 months off, and Brady has not done a full Champlain Valley game night forever. And you know what? That is a good point, Bernard. Actually, there's no Bernard. I made that up. It's off. From now on, Brady, you've got to go back to the full hour of Champlain Valley game night. I'm surprised. You've been slacking it all summer long. I can't allow that anymore.
Well, now that the Red Sox are done, I guess I can accommodate you.
Is that what that is?
Can I comment on 4 months off?
Yeah, you can comment on
that.
Do
you want to know the amount of hours I worked per week in that 4 months off?
My heart bleeds for you. That was like a four-month vacation. You got to go back to the full hour, Brady. I don't want you slacking it off anymore.
Sure. Matter of fact,
what's coming up by that Champlain Valley game night tonight?
So we're going to talk about the Giants and how, in a weird, twisted way, Odell Beckham Jr.'s injury might be the best thing for the Giants.
All right, what are we going to get to this last segment before we get to Last Story Standing?
The one positive you can take away from the Red Sox season
nothing then.
Is?
Well, I guess then we're going to talk about nothing then. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, how do you deal with this guy? It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Remember, Last Story Standing coming up in about 10 minutes from now, actually about 8 minutes from now, though. We wrap up the Red Sox season, try to look at something positive. You start, Rich. That's your team. I mean, I thought Devers was the only positive I could think about this thing, but it's been a miserable ending to a season that just has a sour taste in my mouth.
You couldn't. You hit the nail on the head, Arnie. The curse of Adrian Beltre has finally been lifted. I mean, think about all the third basemen.
But a Hall of Famer?
This team. Will Middlebrooks. Pablo Sandoval.
Shea Hillenbrand.
Well, at least he was okay at the time.
Mark Loretta.
Josh Rutledge.
Miller.
Yoan Moncada, who may go on to be great, we'll never know in a Red Sox uniform. But, I mean, that was one of the number one problems right from the start of the season. Remember what we were saying when they brought Devers up? Everybody, we were all saying, Well, hopefully he'll play okay defense and maybe he'll learn the ropes and can hit 230 and maybe make an occasional contribution. No one saw what he did coming. Power. He had, what, 11 homers in 62 games, including the inside the Parker. Decent defense. I mean, people forget this kid is 20.
Well, let's relax on that. He didn't make three errors in four games, crucially, down the stretch.
No, but would you say decent defense would describe what his defense big picture was for the season?
Yes, I would say yes.
I mean, I think that was the fact that he was the third baseman certainly helps his cause.
Right.
I mean, if he comes in there as an outfielder, then, oh, well, we already have three or four. But the fact that he plugged that giant hole, I think, is really good.
The development of Devers is number one. The development of Benintendi is number two. We expected Benintendi to be good, though, because he came in with that top prospect pedigree. And I thought about other things that were positive, but you expect Chris Sale to come in and do what he did. When you give up top prospect in the game for a guy who's been established as good, you expect Sale to come in and put together a season like he did. People could say, well, Pomeranz was the biggest positive. And I would say that's the biggest positive surprise. But like we knew, like we saw last year in Porcello, we don't know that what Pomeranz did is replicable. I mean, he could go back next year and be 11-13, and we wouldn't bat an eye at it.
Well, I know you're doing positive, but what I'd never expected out of this Reds, the one glaring thing that I didn't even think was even, I would have laughed at you if you told me this before the season, their lack of home run power. Yeah. I was like, get out of here. Look, they may not hit the most home runs, but they're not going to be last. They'll be in the middle, maybe.
Most home runs in the major leagues in history by a lot, and the Red Sox were dead last. They saw that coming.
They did not hit a grand slam for the first time since 1953.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't hit. I did not know that.
They did not hit a grand slam.
That's insane.
For the first time since 1953.
I bet you nobody's ever won a division being last in home runs. I bet you that you could look that stat up.
If you're asking me again, going towards the negative, the biggest thing, I talked a little bit about it last night in Champlain Valley game night, was just the lack of leadership. We knew that when David Ortiz retired, you were going to lose something offensively. Now, we expected some things to be able to, we expected maybe Sandoval, Betts, Moreland, all these guys to collectively come in and fill that void offensively to at least get it to a respectable amount. But what you lost when you lost Ortiz was you lost a clubhouse presence, a guy who was able to keep the clubhouse loose, a guy that was able to go to the media. You didn't have that. And that's where I thought Pedroia really fell this season. Not only his health, but he wasn't the vocal leader that this team needed, and it's tough to say because he's not the big poppy, fun-loving personality, but they needed him to be that this year, and he wasn't.
No, he seems, and he's always, to me, seemed much more of an angry guy who's just, he just seems angry all the time, even when in an interview. I mean, hell, the Sullivan Tire ads, I'm waiting for him to punch the old man right in the face. But I'll go with Christian Vasquez, too. Not as number one by any stretch, but I thought he was a slight positive.
Well, him and Leon, both their abilities. You have two of the top guys in terms of throwing out base runners there. Leon's work with Leon works with Sale, and Vasquez's ability to throw runners out, and then both of their offense to some degree.
Everybody puts we're putting negatives, we're putting blames. We talk about the manager, but you guys haven't brought up one name in like two and a quarter shows. I mean, if everything's so bad and the minor league system is such in disarray and we don't have the home run power, where's Dombrowski in this whole thing? Do we just give him a free pass? Is that what I'm to assume on this or what?
See, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think
a fair question?
Jury is he hasn't been around long enough for the jury to be out. I really don't think he has.
The question is fair, Arnie, but it wouldn't be fair for you to lay blame on Dombrowski because Dombrowski's done exactly what you want. He has built the kind of team and done the things that you want, and because it's backfired, it favors my arguments, right?
No, but I'm just saying if everybody's going to say Farrell needs to be fired and they didn't do this and that or they didn't get another person or something, if you're going to put so much blame, you got to look at the very top, right?
But what more could have you done than position this team with their 1-3 starters as Sale and Price, the two of the top five or six starters in the American League over the last 7 or 8 years, and Rick Porcello coming off a 22-4 year and a Cy Young Award winning year. I mean, what else could he have given us plus Kimbrel?
Well, I understand that. So, but I'm saying that when you go and look at when you trade Moncada and you get Sale, then that worked out well, right? We have to agree that worked out
far.
Well. Yeah. So
yes.
Far, that's worked out well. Yep. But he went out and overspent in free agency like you like him to do.
Right.
He got Price, he got Sandoval, and as of right now, neither one of those moves has panned out. And Hanley, I wouldn't say it's been a failure, but it hasn't been the success that we thought. This year was bad. Last year was largely pretty good.
Yeah, I think the price thing we need to wait a little bit on. I know everybody's angry at him, but I really believe he's coming back next year strong.
And you're right. It's too early to judge that hole on the whole. But, Arnie, also, when you go and trade for Carson Smith, and I know they didn't give up a ton to get Carson Smith, but when you go trade for Carson Smith and he doesn't pitch most of last season and all of this year practically, that's a big arm you went out to get. He traded those prospects. He traded prospects for Tyler Thornburg, and he didn't throw one inning this entire season. So he ravaged the farm system, and he made the big splashy move. And when those things don't work out, then you're left in the position where I'm saying is you need to value the prospects. If they win the World Series, then you would be proven right. But they didn't, so it looks like I'm right.
But the fact that Carson Smith and Tyler Thornburg's arms got
injuries,
injured.
That you can't blame
is
that on Dombrowski's
fault? No, that's not. I mean, they had both had excellent numbers and filled a glaring need coming into the season.
It's not his fault. And I sung that move's praise to go out and get Thornburg. So I thought, well, Travis Shaw doesn't matter. Sandoval's coming back, and hopefully right. he's going to be better. But I'm telling you that when you devalue the farm system and trade away those pieces, that's the risk that you run.
Yet they lost to a team that added a big piece that you never would have added, Justin Verlander.
But you did add that piece because you added Chris Sale in the offseason. The Astros had the prospects to go out and make multiple of those moves potentially, just like the Dodgers have had.
Well,
those
they had a low salary cap. I mean, they had a low salary to begin with.
The Dodgers had those pieces. They could go trade for Yu Darvish, or they could go trade for.
They could overpay for Yu
Darvish. Cingrani from the Reds, and they could go trade for Watson from the Pirates because they had all those prospects in place. The Sox don't have that.
All right, we got to get to last story standing, a local thing at the University of Vermont. We got some changes. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Brady, a story we couldn't get to yesterday has to do with UVM and Tom Brennan. So give us the sound and the story on that.
Tom Brennan, former UVM hoops coach, 19 seasons, 264 wins, including most likely the biggest win in program history to date. The court at Patrick Gym is going to be named in his honor. He spoke about it yesterday, and our friends at NBC5 provided the audio.
I'm not the best coach Vermont ever had. I'm not even the best basketball coach Vermont ever had, but I'm the proudest. There's nobody that's more proud of this school and this program and what you guys have continued to do than me. And the neat thing about the $1 million, of course, is that will help us. That's a step. Unfortunately, in today's world, it's a small step, but it's a very important step to say that we're going to get this gym built.
So basically, $1 million was donated. It sounds as if, Rich, we kind of piece this together. It sounds as if the $1 million was donated contingent upon Patrick Gym being named after Tom Brennan, and it helps assure it's the first step in fundraising efforts towards a new arena.
I think it's great. I think it was great. I would like to have named the locker room after me. I don't care. Give me something, anything like that. I think it's a great honor for him.
Name the bathroom
after you. Exactly. Yes, exactly. Eddie Spanier bathroom.
Yeah. But it couldn't happen. Yes. I mean, is there anybody more influential in the history of the University of Vermont sports?
Yeah.
He's certainly deserving.
Yeah.
No, I talked to him Friday, and man, he is just still on fire. He really is. It just hasn't changed a bit.
He has not invited me to a game yet to sit next to him. I'm kind of surprised.
That's shocking.
Isn't that shocking?
Because his wife sits with him.
Yeah.
Maybe because he doesn't yell at the refs like you do.
Does she have to go to every game? He can't take me to one? He can't take me to
Why
one,
would
Rich?
Anybody want to sit next to you at any sporting event?
I can't believe Tom Brennan won't let me sit next to him. Unbelievable. All right, let's go ahead and finish things up. Brady, what is coming up on Champaign Valley game night?
Odell Beckham Jr. will talk about what his injury means for the Giants.
Bye-bye.
And Roger Goodell sends a memo to the NFL.
Yeah, and it's an interesting memo. So we'll get to that. I got hockey. So for Rich, for Brady, what interns do we have here today?
Julia. And Logan.
All right. Two interns today. I'm Arnie. Coming up next, Champlain Valley Game Night right here.